Our Father and our Lord, worship you, Lord. Thank you for being in the midst of us, Lord. We can see your glory everywhere upon every face, Lord. We know so by the word of God. Blessed be the name, O Lord. Thou that inhabited eternity. And yet you dwell with the humble. Lord, I will walk in them. We are those people, Lord, O God, that you say you will do all these things, O Lord. So we worship and we adore you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Blessed be the name, Father. We thank you for dwelling in us, Lord, making us the temple. Say, ye are the temple of the living God. Lord, we thank you for that. Oh, we worship and we adore you, Lord. We are so grateful that we are your very body. You are the head of the church, that in all things thou may have the preeminence. And each of us are a member in particular. What greater joy can there be that we are part and parcel of the Almighty? Lord, we thank you, Father. Our joy, our glory, our all in all, Lord. Blessed be the name, Father. Thank you for giving us your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. As we read this morning, Lord of God, the Bible says the entrance to that word is always light, giving light. Yeah. Lord, let it be so this morning again, Lord. Father, we thank you. Lift a blessing, Father, as we read your word. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Where we hear during the week, it's in the news. Everywhere stands in the heavens. A notable comet that NASA found back in the month of March. NASA discovered this comet, and that was in the early March, right? And they make many comments about it. They call it an amazing comet that three early morning stargazers earlier in the month of July and so that, you know. And later on in the month, it became visible in the evening, you know. And people have been watching it. And they call the comet NEOWISE. That's an acronym, right? Mr. call it NEOWISE. Basically, it means a near Earth object, white infrared, surveillance observer, they call it, and some of that, whatever they call it, a comet that they found, and some of that, and they'll be there all the evening, the northwest side of the sky. So, and a spectacular comet, and so on. Here's what they said about it, and so on. So, the fact that we can see it, meaning this comet, is really what makes it unique. This is now called an astronomy book, and some of that, it's quite rare for a comet to be brighter enough, or to be bright enough, that we can see it with the naked eye, or even with just binoculars, they added. The last time we had a comet this bright was back in 1995. We all remember that in 1997. They call it a Hale-Bopp, And it made great news back then, Hale-Bopp means the two people found it, Anyway, this comet, they said, NASA said that it will come back again until 6,800 years before they can see it again. Before it come back again. 6,800 years. To us, when we see all these things, it only reminds us of the word of God. Yeah, there are three. They see from the International Space Station, they saw it. They saw it all over the world. But what is the meaning and some of that, We always look back to the scriptures. In Luke 21:11, the Bible tells us this. They were asking the Lord, we call it the Mount Olivet discourse, when shall all these things be? What shall be the times of your coming? Then one of them is in Luke 21:11. And great earthquake shall be in diverse places. Even here in Arizona here, I believe over the week there was an earthquake. Somewhere not in Arizona here. Anyway, in diverse places. And the famines and pestilences, whether man made or whatever it is made, and so on, pestilences and so on, and fearful signs and great signs shall there be from heaven. At least it's a sign, And Bible says, fulfill the Bible prophecy, that the other thing will happen at the end of the age, Fearful signs and great signs shall there be from heaven. 25:6. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves running. Anyway, so we see that there, that 6,000 years they talk about, for it to come back again, to me, it reminds me of something. Man's week is over. The number of man is 6, right? So, and to the law, you know, 1,000 years like a day, right? So, the 6-day week of man is over. What you are waiting for is for the church to go off, the tribulation and something like that, you know. And then at the end, the millennium, the 7th day, the rest, praise the Lord. Above all time, it's a sign to them. They don't know it. They don't know how to read the signs, right? They don't know how to read the signs. It's a way of saying that, look, man, your time is over. Praise right. God. We're going to enter a new age soon, you know. Right. And that's what he's saying right now. They don't know it yet, but by God's will, we know this thing. Something like, you know, praise the Lord Jesus. What we are saying that, get yourself ready. Be also ready, you know. For in an hour, we say, you know, the Son of Man's coming. Whether just by the way, this morning, that's not my subject. Let's turn the Bible to Ephesians 6, please, before I start to the subject matter this morning. That's just what is going on in the news. They don't know it, but these are Bible prophecy fulfilling right before their eyes, 6,800 years. Yeah, telling them, look, man, your time is over. You know, going to a new age now, not the new age, just the new age of the law, ages of ages to come, you know, no more end and so on. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How I wish we read this Bible, this verse often and often to know what we are against. Sometimes we forget these things. We encounter them. But if we know what we are against and we are remembering every day, then we can be stronger. Like the Bible commands us to be here. We'll be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves, you know, but in the Lord. Anyway, this morning, the Christian warfare. I haven't read that about the Christian warfare. Where what you just read now reveals that our warfare as New Testament believer is spiritual rather than one with flesh and blood. How the Bible tells us here, and I wish we remember that every day. Many of the time we see that man is against me, that group is against me, the boss is against me, I don't know that, you know, but recent, as a believer, our warfare is not against flesh and blood, according to the scripture, but against all this power. Praise the Lord. Now, in contrast, the saints of the Old Testament, they were often occupied in military warfare, Israel, talking about that song, in their own time, and so on, that, you know, where they have underneath is also spiritual forces, but as far as we can tell, in their own warfare, it's mainly, with battlefield and things like that, you know. But also, there are spiritual powers behind it and so on. Where there are marked differences between physical and spiritual warfare, there is also a definite parallel between the two. So, one thing is sure: dependence on God is as important to the Christian in winning spiritual battles as it was to Israel in achieving victories on the battlefield. That is a commonality. You must depend upon God. Praise the Lord. You know? Anyway, when Israel trusted God, they invariably won. We saw it throughout all their history. When they trusted in themselves, in their weapons, or in their allies, they either lost the battle or they prepared the way for a later defeat and failure. We see it in Israel and all that, you know. So we Christians can learn valuable lessons from studying the Israel war, the warfare of Israel and so on. Physical most of the time, but this morning we want to look at their war, see what we can learn. There is similarity one way or the other, you know, between our spiritual battles, you know, and then that which Israel fought physically, and even most of those physical battles were won spiritually by the hand of the Lord. So by this morning, I want to just quickly go through some of the things that the battle that Israel fought. And so what you can learn from this battle and apply them to our own spiritual battle that you are fighting day by day and so on, that you know. And so let's see now. Israel fought victory. Whatever. As soon as they left Egypt, you know, trouble began. And on their way to the promised land, Pharaoh has said, okay, you know what? You can go, right? After all the signs and wonders, you cannot go. So their first victory was over Pharaoh, right? God put pressure on Pharaoh and delivered the children of Israel from his power. They did not have to lift a spear against Pharaoh. Look at all these things. You know, to see how you can fight your own battle, you know. Not even a spear, right? Though Pharaoh has promised Moses that people could leave the Egypt, he took his army and the impious presumption, meaning not even defying God, followed them up, after that they were going out of Egypt to the promised land. But after Israel had safely reached the other shore, of course they got to the Red Sea and so on, so when Israel had safely reached the other shore, the sea closed on the Egyptian army, causing all of them to perish. So not telling the story, just telling the result, how the Lord intervened for them, how they fought their battle, how they won their battle, their very first one, which is over Pharaoh himself. On that day, the Lord destroyed Israel's enemies. God's people can expect God to come to their aid if they are obedient. So we are learning, as we are obedient to the law, we can see the law coming to our aid in all our spiritual battles. In Exodus 14:13, see what the Lord intervened and so on, And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You can apply that to your spiritual battle from day to day. Stand forever. It is the word of God. Praise God. All the struggling we are doing, struggling. No. Stand ye still. He said that and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. When the Lord wins, but you, and when God helps you to win, it's a complete victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord will fight for us, will fight for you, just as he did for Israel. But he has a part for you to play in this struggle, in this spiritual battle. He has a part for me to play, right? The Israelites were to go forward. So do we have to go forward? As the Egyptians were closing in on Israel, multitude encamped between the mountains and the sea in front of them, Moses fell on his face in prayer. Then the Lord kind of rebuked him and reminded him that now it's time for action. You may pray. It's now time for action, not for praying, as well as you know. So and in verse 15 of Exodus 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore Christ thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So this issue, I've been praying all your life for this issue and so on. You know, time to move forward, brethren. Praise God. God has taken the victory for you. Just move forward and so on, as you know. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. I always love that, you know. God didn't divide it. He told Moses to divide it. Amen. Praise the Lord. He gave him what he needed. He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. Amen. And of course, you know, the rod, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Mark 16. Praise God. We are underutilizing that which God has given for us. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God. So the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. So they are the name of the Lord Jesus. That is the secret of the early church. Talking about revival, that the correct usage of the name of Jesus will bring this. The Bible has been crying for all this time. That was what brings forth the Bible in the early church. Everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Today the church is underutilizing the power that is in that name. Praise the Lord. Let's learn to use all the power behind the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, so divide it up. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And so it was. So in that little discussion about the first victory of children of Israel over Pharaoh, we can see God will answer our prayers. And he will go to battle on our behalf. He will do it. But he expects us to do something too. There is a time to pray and a time for action. That was the line from there. We must first pray, yes, and then act. Always pray for then you act. Pray, you act. You pray, you act, you know. If you act without prayer, of course, we will fail. And if we don't move forward after prayer, we will miss the victory. That is what you can learn from that particular thing, you know. God told Moses, now you will pray, now just act. So we see right there, see, Israel battles. We can apply the principles to our spiritual battles that we are fighting in Christendom, you know. Yes, pray, act, pray, act. Now, let's see another battle that Israel fought and see how they won. So, no sooner that they begin to go on their journey, that before they even went far, before a new enemy came. Seem familiar? Praise the Lord. As we win one battle and so on, in this Christian and so on, we can apply it and so on. No, they gave another enemy. No? Came forward and so on. Who are they? The children of the Amalekites, they call them and so on, you know? So, and they appeared. So, as they were approaching Mount Sinai, troops from this fierce, warlike nation came out and began to engage in conflict with the children of Israel. Then, Moses, what did Moses do? Moses chose two people, Joshua and a man called Hur, H-U-R. And they went apart and they went into a place where they can watch the battle go on, you know, and see the progress of the battle. And while they were there, Moses was taking care of the spiritual part of things, praise the Lord, see? And with his hands, he said to heaven, as the battle raged, you know, men ought to lift holy hands everywhere, right? Hallelujah. Even in the battles, praise God. Hallelujah. You can do it in the battle, whatever. No, only hands unto the Lord. So when he knew the secret, lift up his hands as the battle was going on. And of course, watch what is going on in the battle and so on. Now they notice, Hur and Joshua noticed that inasmuch as Moses' hands were up, the Israelites prevailed, amen? Yeah. But of course, when he put his hands down, maybe he's tired and so on, the Amalek prevailed. Then the two men, Joshua and Hur, now just sat the man of God upon a massive rock. And they hold his arm, one and the other, and they hold it up all there. Praise God. And they keep it up there. And of course, they won all the time, and Israel prevailed. So we see that in Exodus 17, it's where this story is. And verse 17 says, and it came to pass, when Moses held up his arm, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. What do we learn from there? This shows the necessity of continuity in spiritual conflict, amen? No giving up, you know? As long as we are in mortal bodies, there is no respite, brethren, from this heavenly warfare. Nevertheless, there is a limit to human endurance. And those who carry heavy responsibilities need help, like Moses, you know? He needed help, you know? That's why to pray for those who lead the church and so on like that, you know. Sometimes the church will just leave the leaders unto themselves and so on like that, you know. No, not so, you know. So Joshua and Hur, seeing that Israel prevailed when Moses' hands, like I said before, was lifted up, they did that and they helped him out and so on. So the lesson is this: cooperation of the saints of God is necessary if we are to win to win against the powerful evil forces that array against us. God set it so, and so that, you know. Followers of the Lord must support God's anointed leaders by prayer. They have to do it, and so that, you know. They must hold up their hands, you know. Only then will the church of God prevail. It is a determined and united prayer that will enable the church to overthrow the powers of darkness, that are oppressing the nations. You see, in that scenario, we see how the cooperation, you know, between Moses and so on, and those two brethren and so on, that makes the type of the church, how we have to be in unity and so on, to win the battle against the forces of darkness, you know, that are against the world and the church. So that's what we are learning from that kind of, from that scenario, the battles of Israel. There are something for you to learn from there, you know. Now, let's put another victory of God's children, meaning the church in the wilderness and so on, that, you know. That is Gideon's exploit that defeated the Midianites. A familiar Bible story. I won't read the story, but I just kind of bring some viewpoint out of there. In all of these battles of Israel, the church can learn something from it and so on, and apply to our spiritual, you know, battle that we have going on in Christendom. Well, God sent his angel to instruct Gideon. We even talked about last Sunday and some of that, you know. Before he went into conflict against the enemy, there were certain things that Gideon had to do. And when we know these things ourselves, we can apply them daily to our Christian life and some of that, you know. First of all, he was to throw down the altar of Baal and cut down the nearby grove of trees. He had to do that first and some of that, you know. After that, he was to prepare an offering to the Lord. The sequence. Of course, the initial condition to securing divine aid is obedience.
Sorry,
what scripture is that? This is all in Judges 6. Judges 6. every time I say Judges chapter 6, every time I'm talking about Judges 6 and all that, you know. So after that, you know, so you see, the initial condition to securing divine aid is obedience to God's first commandment. What is that? There must be no idols in the camp. Amen? That is the initial condition for you to receive God's aid. Idol means what in our time? Anything we put before God is an idol. Praise the Lord. Don't put anything before the Lord. That's an idol. Anything, whether it is your career, whatever it might be, whether it is your family, we have to love our family, yes. You know, but first of all, we have to put God first. He that will follow me has to hate his own, hate his people. Not like kind of that. We have to put God first. Anyway, that was the thing that the Bible told us. Yeah. So that's what any kind of idol has to be taken out of the way. The Lord must have first place, sir, in the heart of his people, you know. So in carrying out God's command, Gideon incurred serious physical risk. You know that place. Can you imagine the idol the old people are worshipping? You have to go and order the groups and some of that, you know. Like in my village, they have a group in there, you know. So you have to go and encourage them, right, you know. And then, can you imagine? He put his life at risk. But when we are serving the Lord, there's no risk, amen. Praise the Lord. Because he that sends you, he is greater who is in you than he that is in the world. So we saw that right there and some of that, you know. So there is a risk to him. But he succeeded during a night of foray in breaking down the altar of Baal. Not only did he cut out the groove, he destroyed the, you know, the altar of Baal and some of that, you know. It was after the idol was destroyed that the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. When he put away all idols and so on, put the Lord forth, of course, God's spirit will move. Strengthened by the divine anointing, he called the children of Israel together. Gideon did. In Judges 6:34, and I read, "But the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali. And they come up to meet them, and all that, you know. So you see, and the anointing came upon him, and he called the people. Things were proceeding well as this thing was going on and so on, that, you know, and there was an evidence that Gideon was in the right direction, was in God's will. But Gideon wanted to be absolutely sure that he was in the divine plan of God, you know, and he wanted to be sure. Then what did he do? He asked God for his sign. Praise the Lord. Say, "Lord, you know, tonight, let that be the dew upon the fleece. Let only the fleece be wet. And let all the ground be dry." Well, and the Lord said, "Fine enough." He didn't stop there. Said, "Not today, Lord. I need one more sign tonight, Lord. Let the fleece be dry, and let all the ground be wet." You know, and it was so. See, he wanted to be sure that he is in the perfect will of God. That is a permissive will of God. We want to be in the perfect will of God as much as we can in all our life and in all that we do, you know. So it is good to be certain we are moving in the will of God, especially when we are about to take steps of crucial importance. Very, very important. This does not necessarily mean that we should throw a fleece like Gideon did. Not really, you know. So the thing is this. God only gives two people the same sign. Praise God. It's a God of variety and infinite variety too, you know. So we don't have to do what Gideon did, but the main point is that assure, whichever way God leads you, to assure that you are in the divine will of the Lord, you know, when you are taking a very crucial step in, you know, of importance in your life. God answered Gideon's request for a sign, signifying his approval of Gideon's commission. Gideon and his army pitched beside the well of Harod, the Bible tells us. Then the Lord will teach him a great lesson, which you can also learn from in Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside, you know, the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them. by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Let Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand had saved me. You are wondering, why are they calling Jerubbaal, if fighting against Baal, right? Why are they calling Jerubbaal, you know? Why is that, you know? Anyway, what happened was that in the previous chapter 6, I believe it is, you know, his father gave him that name after he cut down the group of Baal and the whole city was in uproar and so on. Then, I think Joash was his father's name. Why are you fighting Gideon? I mean, let Baal fight for himself, right? You know, so let Baal defend himself, you know. So, and they say, let Baal contend. He said it in 632 of Judges. Let Baal contend. So that Jerubbaal means, Baal contend. You contend, Baal for yourself and all that, you know. Anyway, what it means. So it is only human, anyway, to seek all the support possible before going to any battle. That's reasonable, right? As you get all the support you can, you know. God, on the other hand, may cut off much or even all of the help a person is depending on. He can do it, like he did it in this case and all that, you know. That way, when victory comes, it will be obvious that it was God who gave the deliverance, and he will receive the glory. So, in the story, as I read that chapter, 32,000 men were in Gideon's army. I think that was much, that will look like a lot to you, but what was he against? Even that 32,000 is nothing compared to the number that the Bible describes as the number of the enemy. Bible describes them as, Bible calls them as, there are as many as locusts, as numerous as locusts in Judges 6:5. So thinking that 32,000 is a great army, no. The enemy has numerous army. Bible calls it numerous as locusts in Judges 6:12. Nevertheless, God reduced the size of Gideon's army. Can you imagine? And he instructed Gideon to permit those who were fearful to return home. See? God doesn't want us to be fearful at all. When the Lord is the captain of the whole, what are we fearful about and so on? Do you know what? Out of 32,000, 22,000 were afraid. Can you imagine? Like God's people today, 22,000. Like what is going on in the world today and so on. They are so afraid of Corona. They fear Corona more than God. That is happening right now, you know. More than God. It's happening right now. Let them go home, let them go and sit down at home because they are afraid, right? See? Anyway, so 22,000. Went back out of 32,000, only 10,000 remaining. God said, you know what? Gideon, you still have too many. Praise the Lord. Now, give them a test. Give them by the brook. See how they drink water and so on. You know the story? Those that lap like dogs, and then send them back and so on. In the end of the story, out of the 10,000, only 300 were left. Amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. God wants to take all the glory and things like that, you know. So with only 300 were left. Now, God's plan took an even unusual turn in this story of Gideon and so on. At Gideon's command now, the 300 took their pitchers, put their lamps inside it, and moved forward to the enemy and so on and that, you know. At the appointed time, they had to blow their trumpets and break those pitchers and so on and that, you know. And they should cry, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Praise the Lord. Judges 7:20 and so on and that, you know. In 7:22 of Judges, he said, the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethshitta and in Zeretha, and to the border of Abemashia unto Tobat, and so on. You see the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. See, we are one with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. He's the captain of the host and so on, that you know. He is the one that is leading us and so on, you know. So, but like Paul we said, he said, according to my God, we become one with the Lord and so on, that you know, in this battle that we are warning in our life and so on, that in the Christian life and so on, that you know. Anyway, after that, there was peace for 40 years after that victory and so on. When he obeyed the Lord, 40 years of peace in the land. Gideon was offered a kingship and so on, we know. Oh, come and be our king and so on. You know what he said? He said, no. He was so humble. In Judges 8, yeah, what he said, Judges 8:23, and Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Amen. That's why God chose him, right? Because God saw his heart and things like that, you know. So what did we learn from this Gideon's victory and so on? First of all, Gideon made certain that his call was the call of God. How many people today rush to do things when they have not really sought the Lord in all? You know, they just rush, you know, not really, you know, being sure that it's God's call in their life. Second, he observed God's command to destroy the idol that the children had set up, even at the risk of his own life. You know, he did that and so on. He obeyed the command. The Lord, whatever it takes that the Lord said to do to get going, he did it. Next, he did not allow himself to be discouraged when God reduced the army from 32,000 to only 300. Why discouraged? He is the Lord of hosts, right? So again, God will say to do certain things that is out of your capacity. Most of the time, it's not our own. It is his own strength that will help us to accomplish what he wants us to do. So let us always look unto him. If you send you somewhere an errand, he will equip you. He has equipped you already. Actually, praise God. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you shall be my witnesses. Praise the Lord. From Jerusalem to Samaria and to Judea and to the uttermost part of the world. Praise the Lord. So when he sends somewhere, he will equip you. When people are confused and they say that on a mission for God, either you didn't seek God enough or you are even after the will of God in that matter and some of that, you know. But if he really call you and send you, he will equip you as to what to do, you know, with that and some of that, you know. Anyway, so after the victory, give God all the glory. Give God all the glory. Now let's look at another man of God, another war of Israel. You know, under David, their king and some of that, you know. It was during the reign of David that Israel rose to supremacy. First of all, that was true. In battle after battle and war after war, David defeated his enemies until the nations around Israel were subdued. We are looking at the wars of Israel to see how applicable to this, the principles, you know, apply to our own spiritual warfare in all of this, you know. Anyway, war after war and the battle after battle, he won. He defeated his enemies. For nearly a century, Israel was the predominant nation in the world of that time. That's right, according to history and so on, Bible record and so on, that you know. Nearly a century, Israel was the predominant nation in the world. David won his victories by a sincere and utter dependence on God. See, I like what he wrote in Psalm 44, you know, which I skipped at the other time. You know, in many says, they got not the land in their own strength, he said. Mm-hmm. If I remember, neither did their own hand save them, but their hand and the light of their countenance, because they have favor unto us. Praise God. That was his secret throughout all his battles and so on. That was in Psalm 44. I don't have it here really. Anyway, so we see. So daily, depending upon God, it's out before the battle. So in our struggle, our battle, our warfare, let us always depend upon the Lord like David did. We read in 2 Samuel 6 that the Philistines, Israel's traditional enemy, heard that David had become king over Israel. They had not forgotten their defeat and humiliation when David was a young lad. How he slain their champion called Goliath, right? They didn't forget that, you know. So having recovered their confidence after defeating Saul, they determined to come down in strength against David before he had a chance to set up his kingdom. They did. David knew that not only the Philistines, but there are other hostile armies threatening him on every side. No wonder in Psalm, I don't know what that's why he said, I'm compassed about like this, you know. He said that, I don't know, you know. He was compassed about. Are you there before? No, that's happening over here. No, he's been there before. We can liken our spiritual battle like this one in the Bible and so on, that, you know. So that this children of Israel fought and so on. Anyway, So and but he was confident because he always asked God what to do before he entered into any engagement with the enemy. So don't just take anything for granted. Seek the Lord's face, you know. As a matter of course, you know, on this occasion too, of course, he inquired of the Lord about the plan of action, you know. And in 2 Samuel 5:19, here is what we read. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will thou deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand." See how good it is to always seek the Lord before we take any step. Well, obeying the Lord's command, David attacked the Philistines at their Perazim, Bible says. In their mad flight now, the enemy left behind their many idols, which David and his men burnt, so they don't become a temptation to the children of Israel. Just paraphrase, right? So, you see. But the Philistines, even despite that, they were not done yet. You know, and, you know, they were not subdued completely. You know, even the Lord's temptation, we are told that the devil departed for a season, right? Mm-hmm. You know that you won a battle before, you know, another person pop up over there, right? You know, are we going to be afraid? No. So they were not done yet. So they are not done. They came back again. We are told in 2 Samuel 5:22 that and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now David, after winning a great victory in the fourth battle, he could have just say, "Oh, let me just gather myself and just begin to go and attack them," you know. No. He was just used to seeking the Lord. Even though he has defeated them many times, but he still sought the Lord's face, you know. So, not so. He sought fresh guidance from the Lord. And this is very important for us in our battle in this life, you know, in our prayer life. We must never take anything for granted. David did not trust in his own strength, his past successes, or his own military wisdom. He didn't rely on any of those. If he had gone out against the enemy the same way he did before, I'm telling you right now from what we see in this Bible, he might have met with great disaster. See? For the Philistines were evidently prepared for a strong frontal assault. They know that David's way of fighting battle is a frontal attack. So this time around, they have prepared themselves. They put a very, very strong, I mean, they fortify the front with their greatest men of war in the front, thinking that's how David will come like he did before, you know. So if David had relied upon his own way of doing things, he would have failed, you know. So anyway, now, knowing that that was David's characteristic of fighting, they marched their reserve to the front to meet his expected attack and so on. But now, the Lord changed David's strategy because he saw the Lord. The king was told to fetch a compass and go behind the Philistines this time around, taking them unawares, you know. That is in 2 Samuel 5:23. We are looking at the armies, I mean the wars of Israel, and how they won, how we can apply the principles to our own spiritual battle. So in 2 Samuel 5:23, we are told, "And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." Well, see, the time when David was to come up and so on is also important, you know. Well, yeah, you know, you have to go up, but when? So even to the very minute details, very important, you know. So the Lord told him not to come or move at all until the Lord gave the signal. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we just get past things from the Lord. We didn't get the complete story, right? And we just jump, you know? No, let us just wait. In 2 Samuel 5:24, we are told, "And here is the sign. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry tree, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." Look at him, all this battle, it was always the Lord. always the Lord. You see, Gideon, it was the Lord, amen? Always the Lord, you know, so that, you know. So we see, the lesson was this. God has a time for his purpose to go out into any battle that we want to fight in our life. And we have seen, we also have been there before and make mistakes. We move prematurely and find ourselves at a disadvantage. Other people will wait until the best time to take the action is past. You've all seen it. Maybe you've been there, I don't know, before and so on. The thing is this, we must listen to the Spirit of God. Not every plan of action will be the same all the time, you know. God will show us the right strategy for our situation if only we wait enough upon Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So then we will experience the victory that we desire. So application into our life, what we see in the Bible can apply to our daily life and so on. Let's see another work of Israel, you know, and the same pattern, the Lord fighting for his people, and they depend upon him. A notable event in the history of the kingdom of Judah was this, and one that has made a classic poetry, if you will, was the invasion of Judah by Sennacherib. This was the time of Hezekiah, king of Judah, you know, and the dramatic overthrow of his army, meaning Sennacherib, was one of the greatest answers to prayer in the history of the kingdom of Judah, and it is worth looking at by every Christian. Now, Hezekiah was king when the northern kingdom of Israel went into captivity. Even till today, they are called the lost tribe, right? They have never returned. They have never returned, you know. They went to captivity before Judah went to captivity in Babylon. Judah returned, the time of Daniel prayed them back, but this northern kingdom never returned. The lost tribe. Anyway, so we see the idea. So Hezekiah was king when they went into captivity by the Assyrians. So the Assyrian kingdom had risen to its zenith of power, and nation after nation had fallen before his army. So the northern kingdom fell, and they were carried into captivity and so on. Now it was Judah's turn to be taken into captivity. And here comes this Sennacherib man and so on, the king and so on. So came to Judah and so on, you know. So greatly disturbed by the enemy's advance, Hezekiah made a very foolish move. He didn't pray enough, and what did he do? He went to the house of the Lord and took the gold and the silver of the house of the Lord to bribe the Assyrian king not to invade. What happened? The man, he took all those things, yet he still invaded Judah. See? So it happened in history. So anyway, a foolish move at all. And so a futile move on that Hezekiah. No, he was a good king. So the king accepted the money, like I said, but did not drop his plan to subjugate the kingdom of Judah. He sent his captain with an ultimatum even, for Hezekiah to surrender unconditionally. That is all in 2 Kings 18. I won't read this, so it's right there in the history and so on, in the book and so on. Now Hezekiah did what he should have done in the fall. Thank God he came to his spiritual senses, amen. Praise the Lord. It's okay to make a mistake, but realize it and humble yourself, amen. That God will accept you. Praise the Lord. He knows we're going to make a mistake. Praise God. But he's there to guide us by his spirit and so on, you know. What did he do now? So, need to seek the Lord and so on, you know. So recognizing that a great national emergency existed, he began to seek the Lord. That's in 2 Kings 19:3. This story is in many places in the Bible. It's in Chronicles, it's in the Kings. Anyway, 2 Kings 19:3. And they said unto him, thus said Hezekiah, see, now that's the trouble in the land, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is no strength to bring forth. You know, that's trouble in the land and so on. Now I begin to seek the Lord and so on. They came to reality and so on. Now, before you know it, a second threatening letter came from this Sennacherib man, so Hezekiah. And this time, he took the letter and spread it out before the Lord, you know, in the temple, in the house of the Lord, and so on that, you know. So when people threaten you, what do you do? We have all got threatened here and there and so on. And sometimes God will lead you to do the same thing. Spread it before the Lord. Even in the other church, oh, behold, they are threatening, amen. Praise the Lord. I ask chapter 5 and I believe it. Jesus, behold, they are threatening. You know, give that servant boldness that by signs and wonders, O Lord, by setting forth your hand to heal, and so that you know, and they declare the name of the Lord. We have been threatened from time to time by the path of the devil, and so that you know, but we run to the Lord, and so that you know. Anyway, so then he made his petition to the Lord. He reminded the Lord that why other kingdoms worship false gods, that he, Ezekiah, he was of integrity, right? Serve the Lord, the true and the living God. See? Make your petition. Tell the Lord, you know, I always say this, you know, from time to time to kind of edit our prayer before God. I still really know what is going on around you. Just like a child, spread it before him, amen. Praise God. I just pray, you just told everything the way you see. And so look, I know you just told the Lord what you see. I'm talking to your friend, I know. 2 Kings 19:8. And here what he said. And I have cast their gods into the fire, Ezekiel said he did. For there were no gods, he told the Lord, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Then Ezekiel encouraged the people. As he prayed, then God gave him some courage. In 2 Chronicles, like I said, it's spread across the Bible, right? 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7. He encouraged the people in the face of adversity, right? This is a kingdom, a Syrian kingdom. You know, they are the first to begin to use iron as weapons. Before that time, it used to be like bronze, you know. Don't forget, this is the second worldly kingdom, right? There are to be six Gentile or worldly kingdom: Egypt, Assyria, then Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, down to Rome, right? So this is the second empire of the world. And they became great and so on. They were conquering everywhere and so on, you know. But in the face of it all, he encourages people, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed, for the king of Assyria. I don't care how many nations he has conquered, I have sought the Lord. I think amen. Now, for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. Praise the Lord. That's right. So, and verse 8 says, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us, the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. That's sweet. Let the Lord fight our battles, right? And the people rested themselves upon the word of Ezekiah, king of Judah. It pays off. So, and it's advantageous for us to note two things that he's saying, that particular encouragement. For there be more with us than with them. See, even David will say, the Lord of hosts is with us, sir. See, in Psalm 46, I told us, the Lord of hosts is with us. You know, the God of Jacob is our refuge, we pray. Praise God. And, you know, we are also, the angels of the Lord are around us, you know, so we have nothing to fear. His angels encamp around you. See, anyway, don't trust in the arm of flesh, he told them. So with them is arm of flesh, but with us, the Lord, our God, to help us. Praise God. So Ezekiah and the prophets, now later on, go together in unity with the prophets of that day. Isaiah the prophet. So Ezekiah and the prophet Isaiah now join together and cry to heaven for deliverance. Can you see how unity works in the household of God, household of faith? I mean, Moses didn't go to the mountain, took her, and Joshua with him. Can you see the unity right there? That's why David read in Psalm 133, how beautiful, how pleasant is it for the brethren to get together in unity, amen. Praise the Lord. See, all over the Bible is right there and so on. Anyway, so what happened in there? So, and they cried to the Lord, and the Lord sent for deliverance. So, and that is in 2 Chronicles 32:20. And for this cause, Ezekiah the king, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven, you see. Then came one of the most decisive divine intervention in Israel history. See, what was it? But the next day, the angel of the Lord appeared on the scene, and upon the Assyrian camp, and in one night destroyed 185,000 men. The angel of the Lord. Do you want to shoot one arrow? Amen. Praise the Lord. When the Lord is fighting our battles, you know, that sanctity applies everywhere, you know. So Sennacherib, that king returned to his own land in ignominy and shame. Not only that, upon getting home, his own two sons slay him. See? So So what we learn from this thing, Hezekiah at first made a mistake. We saw that. Try to bribe the devil. You can't bribe the devil and expect him to read or to get rid of him. You can't do that. Say the name of our Lord Jesus. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. He will flee. And many times we are not to afraid of the devil. Bible says when you resist him in the name of the Lord Jesus, he will just walk away from you. He will flee. Praise the Lord. So let us remember all these things, you know. So anyway, and he will only take advantage of your naivety if you try to mess around with the devil like that and things like that. You know? Hezekiah then woke up to reality and refused to further temporize with the devil anymore. With Attila, you know? He just stood on his spiritual ground. He turned to the Lord with prayer and sackcloth, meaning humility and so on, and repentance. He threw himself on the mercy of God. I love that. That's what he said. And God saved Jerusalem with a mighty miracle. Praise the Lord. Always throw yourself to the mercy of God. Let's get one more and begin to close from there. There are so many of them in the Bible. The warfare of Israel, though their own is with their own battle is with all these people, the physical thing and so on, but God intervened for them. Now, Jehoshaphat was one of the Judah's kings, he had certain weaknesses, of course. What was it? The tendency to ally with ungodly people, you see? That is his weakness, Jehoshaphat, that was his weakness. So he allowed himself to enter into alliance with wicked men and some of that, Once he allied himself with Ahab and almost lost his life in battle. Those who are here on Wednesday, I don't know if this one's coming. Praise God. Anyway, I don't have to go into the story. He cried out to the Lord just in time and escaped by the skin of his teeth. He did. So 2 Chronicles 18:31 says, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. The Lord said, move them to depart. Amen. You fight for battles for you. Amen. Praise God. Let us depend upon him. Throw yourself to the mercy of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All the time, you're going to win, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so that one went away. Later on, like I said before, that tendency to just want to make alliance with the backsliders and so on, Later on, he joined with Ahab's ungodly son called Jehoram in a venture against Moabite. The two kings found themselves in a wilderness where there was no water whatsoever, and they will no doubt come to a very sad end, no water for the cattle, no water to drink and so on. However, Elisha was on the scene at that time. And he was Jehoshaphat's friend, you see. He was a godly king, really, for him to be a friend of Elisha, was a godly king, Anyway, was his friend. And at the king's request, Elisha was asked to invoke divine intervention. Not only the court of the desert place, like Elisha now said, he answered the request, and he said, okay, there will be no wind, there is no anything, there will be water, there will be pools of water, And he said that, And the father said, I'm only talking to you, Jehoshaphat, because of you only. If not because of you, I won't even look at this Ahab son's way whatsoever. I won't even look, but for you, I will do this for you and so on. Before you know it, no cloud, nothing. Next day, they dig things and there are water everywhere. There was even a miracle. When the host of the enemy were coming, and the sun was shining upon that water, it looks red. And they were scared, the host of the enemy, and they were scared as well, it's in that chapter as well. I'm going to read it as well. So Moab, however, they defeated them anyway, so they went away and so on, Moab, however, recovered later, like I said, defeat them one way, they will come back again, like they will come back again and so on, So they had a victory that time. There was water, and God wrapped the enemies away from them and so on. But Moab again gained strength and came back again. See, in the days of Jehoshaphat, he came back again. And the two nations now join in common war against Jehoshaphat again. So the dismayed news now came to the king, Jehoshaphat. that an immense army had come from the east and was in the way to invade Jerusalem. This is a very, very popular story in every pulpit and so on, one time or the other and so on. So I'll quickly just go over it and some of that, you know. So Jehoshaphat, he was a man who often found himself in trouble, like I'll show you two times now, you know. Usually, due to his own fault, go and make an alliance with people who are backsliders or ungodly people and so on. But when he got into difficulties, he would turn to the Lord for help. And God never failed him one time. Praise the Lord. See? So it was on this occasion too. In 2 Chronicles 23, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast, see, throughout all Judah. Very humble man. Humble cancer, you know. Yeah, he got into many troubles. So David got into many troubles. No, but if you know your way back to God, you know. Anyway, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So we see from here, Jehoshaphat called for a fast throughout all the land. Well, he could have mobilized his army quickly for war, you know, as that is getting now. And they made intense preparation for battle, right? But he didn't do that, you know. When the people gathered together, he led them in prayer before the new court of the house of the Lord. He called to remembrance that the Lord had not allowed Israel to touch this nation when they came out of Egypt. See, making your petition, just lay before the Lord. Wait, what happened to that, you know? Now, here is the prayer, part of the prayer in 2 Chronicles 20:11. Behold, I say, talking to the Lord now, how they reward us to come to cast us out of that possession which thou hast given us to inherit. Just make his case before the Lord. Our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I always like that prayer, you know. David said, we look up unto the east, from where cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. You can always do that. So, finishing up here, it was a dramatic scene. The king did not even know, see how he could stand against this great army. So you could be confronted with things, you don't even know how to attack, you know. But what did he do? So instead of making preparation to fight, he just admitted his helplessness. And he pled his case before the Lord. They are standing before him, the women, the children, and everything like that, you know. This great, massive army, where they killed, outnumbered, and things like that, you know. And there were children everywhere, and things like that, you know. And he led them in prayer and so on. Of course, while they are doing that, then came the word of the Lord from one of them called Jahaziel, 9:3, 2 Chronicles 20:15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, are ye inhabitants of Jerusalem? And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. No matter what confronts you, people. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Even our spiritual battles, you know, we can let the Lord have it as well. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come off by the cliff of Ziz. And you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. See, these are the things we want to pick up. This kind of thing that God has said in the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you know. Do the same thing for you. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Praise God. I will say, be still. I know that I'm God. Praise the Lord. So how many times we just fidget and fidget and fidget and so on. No, be still before the Lord. So what words of encouragement were these? We can use them today in our battles, you know. The same thing, God's word. We are told all the promises of God. Whether they are yea and they are amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, so they did not have to fight in this battle. The other was to be still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Then the spirit of worship came upon the people, and they praised the Lord with a loud voice. The next day, Jehoshaphat set his people in array, not to fight now, but to worship the Lord. You see? He told them that they should sing to the Lord and praise the beauty of holiness. And in 2 Chronicles 20:20, we are told, "Ah, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat turned and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God that has told you, amen. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper," he told them, you know. So, anyway. And verse 22 says, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mansia, and which come against Judah, and they were smitten." See, all the time, they know they did that. "For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mansia and utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone had destroyed another." See, where the Lord intervened for you. Praise the Lord. Let me say back at all. Because the Lord, the Almighty, God is the Almighty. "So the kingdom of Judah, which had not found it necessary to fight at all to win this great victory, took 3 days to gather the spoil of the war." Praise the Lord Jesus. So in finishing up this morning, brethren, you know, say we note what happened in this case. Jehoshaphat called the people to fast without delay. He presented his petition before the Lord, intelligently, before the Lord, and so on. He confessed his own weakness, saying, "For we have no might against this great company that come against us." God heard him and told him not to be dismayed. And he's telling you today, everywhere in the Bible, fear not, you know, but to stand still and see the salvation of your God. They were to go forth against the enemy, not with swords now and spears, but to sing and praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Of course, true to his promise, God brought a great victory for them against the enemy. When the people returned to Jerusalem, they continued to praise the Lord with psalteries and harps, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms round about. And we read in verse 30 of 2 Chronicles 20. "So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." So, brethren, here is a very beautiful picture, all of these scenarios in the Bible, of the Christian's warfare. The believer depends not upon his own strength. We don't. We confess any past failure, we do, and put our trust in the Lord. Instead of fighting in flesh and blood warfare, we praise God in the beauty of holiness. God fights and wins our battles, all of them. Praise the Lord. We can go on and on in the Bible, but we see in every situation how as they trust the Lord, how they won and they won and they won and they won. So we can do the same thing and apply this thing to our spiritual battles in our lives. So Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we're looking for inspiration. Where do we look? We look into the Word of God. Lord, that which you have done in the past, oh Lord God, Lord, we can apply them to our lives today. Lord, resting in the Lord, being still, seeking the Lord, not going ahead of the Lord, not going far too behind, just following right close after you, Lord. You are a very present help in trouble, we are told. I will be with him in trouble, he told us. I will deliver him. I will show him my salvation, the Lord said. Lord, we thank you, we worship. We need not fear anything. All power in heaven and in earth be done to the Lord Jesus. In that name we have the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we glorify your name, Lord. Lord, greater are thou who is in order that is in the world. We are told in Ephesians 6 where we began, Lord. Yes, though you may have a fiery dart, doesn't mean anything. We are able to quench all those fiery darts in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have on all the elements of salvation. Our Lord is guided with the truth, which is the Word of God. And our feet sure with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're not fighting with the sword of iron, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Be able to quench all those fiery darts. Lord, we thank you this morning. Help us, your children everywhere, to awake unto the infinite and awesome power that lay within us, in the name of the Lord Jesus. that the enemy can never match to win every conflict and be the what you want us to be, overcomers in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are called to be overcomers. We thank you this morning. Let there be courage. We pray for everyone that is called by your name in such an hour as we are living in now. Surrounded by all kind of things, coming against us, hold on, but we're not going to be afraid, because the Lord, he said, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the world. That's why we're not afraid. No, because the Lord is with us. He said, to the end of the world, we command strength to the heart of your children everywhere. Meet the need of your people, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. Just reading your word is life to us, Lord. In the name of the Lord, as we go this morning, let the Holy Ghost expand this truth, that the truth of the Lord, your word can never grow old, Lord. In the name of the Lord, the Lord's principles, they are firm, they are true forever. So help us to apply them to our very life, and we have the same victory. Never see David lost one battle, not one, or all that I've read this morning. How much more now, Lord, this last day, the Lord walking in love. So thank you for blessing us this morning. We worship and we adore you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest.
Oh, I was wondering.
Yeah. So praise God. I could operate it too. I love you. Praise the Lord.